Last week we heard from Chris and his partner Laura, who is pregnant with twins, who have no chance of survival. They want to terminate the pregnancy, but were told it is impossible under the law here. Chris had also told me that he was worried about the legal implications if he was to travel with his partner to England. They appealed for help from our Stormont politicians. Would you believe that some of the political parties in Northern Ireland are even refusing to acknowledge that he exists, in terms of they are giving no response whatsoever to his case? We will list this morning the political parties who have met with them, who have responded to them, and we will tell you about the SDLP today, who, despite repeated conversations between us and them, that they simply refused as a political party to not only engage with Chris and Laura, but the SDLP refused to write one word of a statement about Chris and Laura. That's a political party here in Northern Ireland. The TUV have not responded to any of our calls or texts. When we went back to the SDLP and we said to them, please, could you talk about these citizens in this country, Chris and Laura, they're asking for help, the SDLP would not utter one word about this family. The other political parties did. And we will list that all out to you. The DUP, for example, the DUP health minister met them. He took time out of his diary. And to be fair to them, actually, I think he's met them twice. That's Edwin Poots. The Alliance Party, they have said, and I'll read all these statements later. They did read a statement. We'll hear from Basil McRae in NI21 very shortly. Catriona Ryan was on the programme from Sinn Féin. Ulster Unionist Party, we'll hear from them. So it's interesting when there is an issue of national importance, which political parties engage and which political parties sit and say absolutely nothing. Interesting politics. Chris is with me now. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I know that there is a political dimension to this, but this is a very personal story for you, a very personal situation for you. And what we're trying to do as a programme is give you a platform, nothing else. We can't take a position, but we need to give you a platform. You met with the health minister.
Yes, Stephen, we met with Edwin on Monday briefly, and we discussed over our case, you know, and went over the basics of everything with him on Monday. And then we actually met with Edwin and the consultants that are dealing with us in the hospital. We met with them together yesterday, so we did. And they discussed over everything, you know, and tried to, you know, explain to us what they could and couldn't do for us.
And what can be done for you, Chris? We should really remind people who don't know about your story, because, you know, you're one of two families who we have brought into the public domain. Sarah and her husband, Jason, they went to London for an abortion last week. And that they're appealing for the law to be changed in cases of fetal abnormality where a baby is going to die, either during pregnancy, shortly after birth, and they're appealing for a reflection on the law and the guidelines. And I travelled with them in London to the abortion clinic. Now, your case is different in that you have very similar circumstances, but you haven't gone for an abortion yet, and you were appealing for help in Northern Ireland on two fronts. Correct me if I'm wrong here. First of all, can anybody help you so that you don't have to go to London? And secondly, if you accompany your wife, can you have an assurance from the authorities that you're not putting yourself into any legal jeopardy, right?
Yeah, well, Stephen, to us, the important part of it was, you know, what help we can get and what help people in the future can get. As the prosecutions, we're more worried and we're more interested in finding out, you know, what the legal side of it was with regards to healthcare professionals, because, you know, to us that's the important of, you know, whether they can help us or whether they can help other people. But we were told that basically that the hospital, after they seek legal advice, the doctors are put in a position with the way the law stands that if they were to provide more care, that, you know, the care that they'd like to provide, you know, their hands are tied at the minute with the law. They will be prosecuted as it stands. You know, they are at risk of prosecution at the minute still, so they are sure they can't go ahead and provide the care that we would like in this country at the minute.
And that risk of prosecution, that is if the doctors were simply talking to you about...
Well, if the doctors were to advocate or to, you know, just to pass on any details, if the doctors were to do anything like this, they could face prosecution as it stands.
And what position does that leave you in? What position does that put you in? What's the impact of that law and where the law stands at the moment personally in your life?
Well, for us, it's just meaning that this terrible situation that we're in, you know, it's so emotionally draining and hard as it is for anybody that's in this kind of situation. But the way the law stands at the minute, it's just making things so much harder and putting so much more strain on me and my partner. And it's taking its toll. Like, you know, we're both knackered and we're both just completely drained, you know, physically and emotionally with everything. It's just meaning that there's so much more to think about and to, you know, to take into account and for us to have to try and deal with, because, you know, we can't get the care that we want here, and then we're also having to fight to try and see if we can get things changed, while also being aware of the fact that we have a deadline to make our final decision.
What are you going to do?
Well, based on what we've been told, we've made contact with London, so have, but we're not really going to discuss any more details of that at the minute. But we've been told by Mr. Pooch. Mr. Pooch says that he can't change anything. He's legally not able to change anything in the short term for us now. And he's assured us that he's going to bring the matter before the Assembly. We asked for a timescale on that, and he says that it should be, he can't make any promises, but it should be by next month, and that he's assured us that he's going to push for changes in the laws or guidelines to take into account cases like this where there's fetal abnormality and there's no real outcome of life. He's made assurances that he's going to seek to review things on that basis, and that's what we want to see, whether, you know...
But just to be clear, the Health Minister has told you that he's going to seek a review on the guidelines around babies with fetal abnormality. Is that correct? Is that your understanding?
Yeah, he said to us that he's going to bring the issue to the Assembly, and that they're going to try and change things in the cases of fetal abnormality, that they'll be able to maybe do more for us in this country in these cases.
Now that's a, you know, obviously what we will do just to look after you and to make sure, and I'm sure you heard him right, but just to make sure, we will go back to the Department of Health right now, because that's a big line from you this morning. If you're saying that the Health Minister has said he will try to change the law here on fetal abnormality, that's what you're saying?
Yes, well, he says he's going to take the matter to the Assembly, and he's made assurances to us that he is going to seek to, you know, to get things so that they can help people in these cases more. But we'll see. With the proofs, obviously, and what happens now, that's what we want to see, is if this is followed through with. But at the minute, on what we've been told, that would be a big step forward, we think.
That's going to be too late for you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. For us, it's not really going to do a lot for us now, but at the same time, you know, for everybody else in the future that's going to have to suffer this, it could be a big step forward, and if some good can come of this, then...
Alongside this, Chris, even if you could do what you wanted, and look, there is another, obviously you will understand that I have to put the other side of the debate, if you like, around this to you, which is that there are people who feel that the rights of any unborn child is paramount and no one has the right to abort. and that that fetus and the child must be protected at all times.
Yep.
What would you say to those people?
Well, I would just say that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and that everyone's opinion in itself that is valid to them. But I think that people need to be careful when they're putting across their opinions, how they put across their opinions. You can have your own opinion and you can state your opinion, but some of these people take it a step too far and push their own opinion on the other people. The people that are in this kind of situation, you know, myself and my partner, you know, they don't need people that have the opposing opinions to them, forcing them onto them, shouting, you know, abuse, you know, putting abusive messages, you know, on the internet, stuff like this, that, you know, just going completely against and saying, you know, things like baby killers, things like this, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, no matter what our babies have wrong with them, you know, anencephaly and other problems, kidney problems, stuff like this, you know, at the end of the day, they're still our babies, although they are technically brain dead, but you know, it's still very, very hurtful, and people need to be careful what they say, I think.
Have you had abuse on the internet?
Well, just from reading on some of the sites, you know, where it's discussed, you know, some of the pro life people, you know, the some of the comments that they would write, you know, they're not very nice.
I guess they feel they're sticking up for the rights of the child.
Yeah, but, you know, there's ways and means of doing that. So that you can state your opinion without then being abusive.
You know, the health minister, Edwin Poots, Chris, has, you know, there's been a lot of scrutiny on him over the last week. Some people would call that pressure. It's certainly been scrutiny because he's the health minister and the guidelines that he has issued are his guidelines. To be fair to him, he's taken the time to meet you. Do you feel that you were listened to?
Yes, we'd have to say that, you know, Edwin did take the time to meet us twice now, and, you know, from what when we spoke to him, and, you know, he did listen to us. He did listen to what we have to say. You know, he said that he was sympathetic and that, you know, that he was, you know, he couldn't even try to understand what we're going through, and that, you know, that he would like to try and help us, so we would, and, you know, we tried to push Edwin, you know, can you assure us that you're going to take action on this now, because to us, this is the only thing, you know, all these words are nice and that, but if there's no action taken on this, if nothing changes, then the words are worth nothing. But, Edwin says that he does think that things, you know, maybe need to change in the cases of fetal abnormalities.
And you're sure he said that to you?
Yes.
Can I ask for your reaction? Because what politics is about is real life. And politics is, you know, often the test of politicians and a political party is what do they do for an individual on the street? Can I ask for your reaction to the fact that when we went to a major political party in this country that seeks votes, the SDLP, and we asked them about Sarah and her family, and they gave us a statement. Everyone has listened over the last few days, they say, and have been deeply affected by the experience of Sarah. The SDLP expressed their regret to Sarah and her family. The SDLP believes that the health minister's right to ask officials to consider the case. They say it's also right under the present law in Northern Ireland a full and comprehensive assessment is made of this case. And that was Sarah and her family. Can I ask you, Chris, to comment on the fact that when we talked about you, because you're seeking political engagement here, how does it make you feel and what impact does it have on you and your family at this time of crisis? That when we went to the SDLP, they refused to put any of their politicians onto this programme to speak about it. They refused to actually acknowledge you. They refused to speak about you. And they said that they would not comment in any way. What does that say to you about the SDLP?
Well, politicians, in my understanding, you know, are supposed to be here to deal with issues, you know, that are important to the people that, you know, are to the voters, you know, that they're supposed to push for changes that the public want. They're supposed to try and help people in bad situations. And, you know, the SDLP obviously is not willing to do anything on this. They have their own views, but, you know, you can state your own views and, you know, have at least have an input on the matter, but they're in action. They're not willing to do anything. So that doesn't really help anybody.
Nick, they're entitled to a different view, obviously, than you, but just to refuse to even acknowledge you publicly.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
What's your timeline here? What's your...
Our cut-off point is Thursday, next Thursday. Between now and then, we have to have everything arranged, which all has to be done by ourselves. You know, we'll have to make contact, which we have, and then we'll have to, you know, make appointments to arrange travel, you know, all this kind of thing. We can't get any help from our own country, you know, as it stands, our country can't help us.
What a profound thing to say. As it stands, our country can't help us. So you've got to do everything on your own.
Yes.
You can't get any advice whatsoever from any of the medical staff looking after you?
Well, they can try and support us as much as they can within the law, but at the minute they're restricted in what they can do because of the law. So it's not a very good situation to be in. You know, the laws, the way they stand in this country at the minute are a bit of a joke. They don't really help anybody in this situation at all. The guidelines aren't up to, you know, they're not doing what they were set out to do. They're not clarifying for anybody what they can and can't do. You know, they're not fit for purpose the way they are at the minute, so they definitely do need to change. And I think that this time that they need to be set out properly so they can actually help the healthcare professionals and help people in these kind of positions. You know, so
like, do you understand the draft guidelines? Do you understand them? Is it clear to you what the legal position is for you?
Well, I don't think it's clear for anybody what the position is. The guidelines are badly set out so that it's completely up in the air. Nobody knows exactly what they do or don't mean. Even, you know, the politicians, the BBS, these kind of people don't even seem to be able to tell us what exactly they mean. You know, nobody can tell exactly what they mean, it seems, at the minute. You know, they need to be changed so that they're quite clear to everybody, the normal people, the healthcare officials, to everybody, what is and isn't legal. And I think when the draft like guidelines were supposed to be brought in, you know, to help the healthcare professionals treat people, to allow them to do their jobs properly and to the extent that they want to do. But at the minute, they're doing the opposite and they're hindering the healthcare staff. They're stopping the healthcare staff from doing, you know, what they should be able to do.
Well, look, I think this is about day five now that I've been asking. You mentioned the PPS, the Public Prosecution Service. For some type of public response on this. We checked this morning, just before we came on air, and they are going to issue some type of statement to the Nolan Show. This is the director of the Public Prosecution Service, Barry McGrory. So let's see what he comes through with. And Chris, look, this might be too late in terms of what you want for your situation, but I think both your family and Sarah's family, you've certainly been pushing and pushing for further clarity so that other families don't find themselves in the uncertain situation of not knowing what they can and can't do.
Yeah, well, it would just be a shame for all the families that have been in these kind of situations, not just us and Sarah, but everybody that's been in this kind of situation. They've had to have gone through what they've gone through, and, you know, that it hasn't been for anything. You know, we would just like to hold on to the hope that what we've been through and what everybody else that's been through this has been through, you know, can make changes that's going to help people, you know, to help people in the future and to help the people in our medical and the healthcare here to be allowed to treat people properly to be allowed to give them the care that they need in our own country.
Okay. Chris, how's Laura?
We're both just, it's just such a hard position to be in, you know. It's taken a terrible strain on us both, and, you know, it's I don't know, it's hard to even explain.
Thank you so much for coming on the radio this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So that's actually quite significant, what has been said on the radio there this morning. Chris is saying that the health minister has told him. Chris is saying that the health minister has told him that he will consider changing the law on fetal abnormality, abortion on the grounds of fetal abnormality in Northern Ireland. When I asked Chris, is he sure the health minister said that? He said yes. Now, when we went to the Department of Health, here's the Department of Health, we're just waiting to hear, actually, from the Department of Health on that. Because if what Chris is saying is a reflection of what the health minister told him, that is highly significant here in Northern Ireland. Chris is suggesting that the health minister has told him that he will consider supporting a change in the guidelines in the law for fetal abnormality being grounds for abortion in Northern Ireland. Now, we need to give Edwin Poots fair dealing here, in that we need to check with his party, the DUP, and the Department of Health directly about that. But you heard it from Chris this morning. Let's get political reaction from those who will engage with Chris and Laura, their family, to make it clear. Health Minister, in terms of the DUP, they have met with Chris and Laura twice. Sinn Féin, they have promised that they're going to send through their thoughts on Chris and Laura's situation. The TUV haven't responded to anything, and the SDLP have told us that they are refusing to make any comment on Chris and Laura whatsoever. Which is interesting. Basil McRae from NI21. You position yourself, Basil, as a new party in Northern Ireland. Are you prepared to engage, or are you going to no comment too?
No, we're absolutely prepared to engage. The situation that Chris and Laura find themselves in is absolutely distressing, and nobody should be put in such a position. It's totally unacceptable. And just listening to Chris talk there about the interaction that he's had with Edwin Poots, is I do think that we can do more than that. The problem appears to be that the draft guidelines, and remember these only draft guidelines, 2013, have just put things way beyond the pale as far as the health professionals are concerned. And what I think that the health minister can do, there's a number of things, but if he is genuinely minded to change the situation, he can revert back to the 2009 guidelines. That's the existing guidelines. He can just say to the medical profession, these are the guidelines that we will keep in place for some time. It's the prospect of change that has made matters even worse, and he can fix that with a simple statement. And I'll also say, Stephen, because I know that time is of the essence, but we've had numbers of occasions in the recent past where the Assembly has been recalled over emergency legislation has had to be put through. Certainly, if it's just a key matter for a minister to make a statement and he wants the backing of the Assembly, then we should be able to talk about it on Monday or Tuesday of next week. Or if that is too late for Chris and Laura, we should consider recalling the Assembly to have a special discussion on it on Friday. The situation that this family find themselves in, I think, will have distressed everybody that's listening to your programme.
Well, hold on a minute, Basil, but there are people who form a significant proportion of the population in Northern Ireland who feel that Chris and Laura should not be able to have an abortion under any circumstances, including the circumstances they find themselves in.
Well, there's two things to that. First of all, I understand that people have a different opinion. That's fair enough. What you need to have, though, is a proper discussion and a proper decision. You do not have to put this back for a couple of months. It's pressing. It needs to be dealt with now. So whatever the will of the Assembly is, whatever people want to go forward, and I can only say on what I've heard from Chris about Edmund Poots, whatever the decision is, you do not have to wait until it's too late for Chris and Laura. We should be dealing with it now. We can do it now. It's not as if we've got too much work on in terms of motions or legislation. If there's a will, you can do it either by a ministerial statement or an emergency recall of the Assembly.
So are you calling for an emergency recall of the Assembly?
If it cannot, given the time scheme that Chris and Laura have just outlined, that they have until next Thursday to make a decision, we should, as an Assembly, be able to react immediately. And if we cannot do it in any other circumstances without the support of the Assembly, then the Minister for Health should call for the Assembly to be brought back and to deal with this issue specifically. If he needs political cover, and I'm not sure that he does, but if he needs it, he should bring it back. And then all of those parties, whether it's the FDLP or whatever, can put their argument forward one way or other. At least then we will get certainty about what the legal position is for Chris and Laura when they have to make up their mind.
I am absolutely
calling for that.
And just to be clear, what do you think the legal position should be? Do you think if let's take Chris and Laura's situation, their twins have serious fetal abnormality, will die either during pregnancy or shortly after birth. Do you think they should be able to have an abortion in Northern Ireland?
Yes. Emphatically, yes. If that is their decision, I'm not they have some personal discussions that they have to talk to each other about and family and friends. But if it is the case that in the circumstances considered, that is their decision, they should be able to get the help and support of their family. They should get it in Northern Ireland. There should be no prevarication about this. There should be the absolute highest level of help and support. There should be no question that medical professionals cannot tell them what their options are. We should not have to ship this particular tragic circumstances off to England to deal with. We should be able to deal with it here, and in whatever way that I can help or my colleagues in NI21 can, we will do that. We will say what has to be said. The Chris and Laura deserve our help and support.
So do you support the extension of the 67 Abortion Act into Northern Ireland?
Well, there's a whole bigger discussion to take place about that, because medical advances have changed the position. But what I will say quite clearly is that the law and the guidelines should be clarified, that where there is a number of circumstances, one of which would be fetal abnormality, then the law should be changed to make sure that service and help and support can be provided in Northern Ireland. As for the bigger question that you ask, we are quite prepared to engage in the discussion as other jurisdictions have had to do, because it is simply not acceptable that we put our head in the sand and say that nothing is happening here whilst 1,000 women a year leave Northern Ireland on their own over to England to get to get a service done, which frankly they need a lot of help and support on.
Okay, Basil McRae, thank you very much indeed. We'll hear from the Ulster Unionist Party in a moment or two. And the breaking news this morning is that a family who have twins with Anna Keffley, who say that they're being forced, if they want an abortion, to go to London next week for that abortion, have said that during a private meeting with the Health Minister, Edmund Poots, that the minister told them that he will consider changing the law on fetal abnormality on abortion. Now, the Department of Health have sent us a statement. They have said consultation on draft guidelines has closed. A number of submissions highlighted the issue of lethal fetal abnormality and incompatibility with life. Full consideration is currently being given to the all consultation submissions, and the minister intends to bring a final version to the executive for its consideration at an early stage, ideally within a number of weeks.